refresh your mind, what we discussed last couple of Sundays about the last church age, the first church age, the Ephesian church age. The messenger was Paul. The period was 53 AD to 170. Now you find that during this age, or referring to this church age, the Gentile church age, and you find the light dawn upon the Gentiles, the gospel light. The first parable, the parable of the sower, parable of the sower, take the seed and sow the word. The light comes to all over, to the people, Gentile people. But when the light is there, we also observe a little bit of darkness is now creeping into the where the light was. You see that aspect here. Now remember one of the things Jesus, John said, John the Baptist said about Jesus. He said, whose hand in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire, quenchable. Now that is exactly what we are talking about, fire that will be quenchable, unquenchable. But he said he is thoroughly purged. You know, as a farmer has the fan, you know, he thoroughly purged the floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner. The chaff will burn with fire. You remember, I explained to you the first parable of Matthew. Let's come to the second parable of Matthew. Now we are talking about a church age which lasts for 2000 years. Now we are coming to 2007, and we start with 53, and we are here in this first stage. And then we come to 170 AD, in the second church age. Now we are all talking about, I am taking you through a kind of a journey of history. You remember, this history was prophesied by the Lord Himself. All that we see, we look back. When we go back here, we are here, remember, we are here. We are here. And we are looking this way, we are looking back and seeing this. We are looking back here, from here, what is happened here. We are not here. We are here, we are looking here in the history. So you are here going through a journey to understand what happened in the early churches. But you remember when Jesus gave these parables, none of these things were there. There were no first, when he gave this parable, the church was not in existence. When John wrote in the book of Revelation, when he wrote about the church ages, those things were not there in that place. Now let's see, the second parable of the Matthew refers to the second church age, which is in the book of Revelation. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man. He's referring to the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven means God's kingdom here on earth, or the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kingdom, heavenly kingdom here on earth is like unto a man sowed good seed in the field. Now he talks about this parable, good seed in the field. But when men slept, enemy came and sowed tares. Now what is the, where is it happening? It is happening in the kingdom of heaven. Not there, kingdom of heaven here. These things are happening not in here. It is happening in the kingdom of heaven, which is here on earth. There are good seed in the field, and men slept, enemy came and sowed tares. So the tares are also in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the scripture says you have the good seed as well as tares also in the kingdom of heaven. Among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. Then it is planted, then appears the tares with their fruit. So the servants of the householder came unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? for whence hath that it tears? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this so. The servant said unto him, will thou that we'll go and gather them up? Now the servants of the master came and said, look sir, you planted the wheat, but here we have the tares. He said, shall we remove? Who had done it? He said, enemy has done it. You know, enemy always will do this. He will always make sure there is something contrary go to the plan of God. The servant said, will thou that we go and gather them? He said, shall we go and remove these things? What did he say? But he said, no, nay, lest while you gather tares, ye uproot up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Let both grow together. So what happens here is, we find here, from here onward, we find this, the tares starting, and when you come to the wheat church age, all these areas we find the tares now coming in. And he says, let both grow together until the harvest, until this time. So in each age you find tares. In each church age you find the tares. In starting from here you find the tares all over. And he says, let both grow together until the harvest. And I will say to the reapers, gather ye together. What? First the tares, bind them in bundles. Now if you see a lot of people in bundles, too many bundles, we have to be careful. If those bundles are named also, after different names, then you know they are ready for something. So, and then he says, but gather the wheat unto my barn. First the tares, there would be, you know, automatically it is happening in the last 2000 years. We find in each age, we find starting here, we find this bundling began. I will explain that how this bundling began. In this period, there are formal bundling of the tares. Even today you find thousands and hundreds of 30,000 bundles in this present Christian world. There are so many bundles, you know, and which is ready. Probably not serving the purpose of God, but to be burned. But wheat would be to the barn. And he says, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. You know, they are also children, but they are children of the wicked one. The good seed is, they are also children. They are children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Enemy that sowed is devil himself. You know what he did in the garden? He did it right. Harvest is the end of the world. Reapers are the angels or the messengers, genuine true messengers, who is like Paul, who went through the ages and ministered to the people, bring forth the word, and people become true genuine children. Now you find this is exactly what Jesus said in his parable in the kingdom. Now this is what is going to happen. He says in this parable, you find in this age, we find that now, in the second age, which began in AD, we find there is going to be an equal number of people, wheat and tares, growing here in this place. And this is a major thing that took place. And with this, let's go to the book of Revelation, try to understand what it says. It says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall the end of the world. Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all that offended them which iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine as shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who had ears, let him hear. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith first and the last, referring to the Lord himself. He is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And again he says to this age also, I know thy works and thy tribulation, thy poverty, thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but the synagogues of Satan. Now remember, every time Jesus gives a message through the John to the each church age, he certainly identifies the status of the church, and he identifies what they go through. He identifies that element of chaos, what they are doing, and the persecution that comes to the true church with that. And he says here, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that have tribulation 10 days, thou 10 days be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. You remember the message to the Smyrna, he says he will go through tribulation, persecution, they will suffer, and he says devil will cast some of you in prison. You remember, in this age is the beginning of greater persecution that took place in the church age. And he says, if thou hast to be faithful unto death. Now here, you remember, it's different to what the message that was there in the Ephesian church age. Here he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. Crown of life, you see, again refers to that celestial body which God has prepared. And he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not hurt with the second death. You remember, I explained to that in the beginning. Now let's see the church age, is Smyrna church age. The time period is AD 70 to 312. Now you talk about 10 days of great tribulation that took place between 300 to 310. Roman Emperor brought massacre in this area. I will come to that. The messenger to this age is Irenaeus. I will explain to you how God selected this man to be the messenger to the age. Paul was the messenger of the Ephesian church age. Irenaeus was the messenger to the Smyrna church age. The Bible references Revelation 2, 8 to 11. The city is a Smyrna city. The messenger Irenaeus, using God's rule, the character and the attributes of the ministry of Apostle Paul. Now God beautifully set the pattern for all the other messengers, as I explained to you last Sunday. His model was apostle. He was the messenger to the Gentile church. He was the apostle of Gentiles. And his absolute stature is a model that was aspired to be by others, and even us today. Any true son of God, any true servant of God, has to want to be a servant of God, has to match to this man's character as a true servant. So using God's rule and character attributes of ministry of Apostle Paul becomes a guideline in choosing all other church age messengers. There are certain attributes and character of ministry which are common to all major messengers. Paul's manner of ministering set the pattern that all messengers and ministers of God were to aspire to, though not all would attain such height in prophetic realm as did by Paul. You know, you cannot match Paul. You know, Paul had awesome revelations. He was a man raised by God for a purpose, for Gentiles and all of us. And the revelation that he has got, who cannot match that? But yet, he would be the benchmark or the model that all the other messengers have to come to. History records, Irenaeus was exalted by the Lord to be the messenger to the second church age. He was the disciple of great saint and warrior Polycarp. Now the Polycarp was one of truly illustrious saints of all ages when viewed with the light of blameless life. Now these are there in the church history books. If you go through, you can find out about the church histories. In his old age, Polycarp was martyred. He was the first bishop of Smyrna church. Polycarp was the first bishop of the Smyrna church. And Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp. Irenaeus was militant against any form of organization with man over man control in the church. His life was one great Holy Scripture manifestation. Glorifying God, it is no doubt Irenaeus sat at the feet of great man Polycarp and learned the Christian graces followed from the Polycarp's consecrated life. Now the Polycarp was a disciple of John. John the Revelator, who wrote the book of John, the Epistles and the Revelation. Polycarp was a disciple of John, and Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp. And the Polycarp and Irenaeus had a very close, intimate relationship. Irenaeus sat under his feet, understanding the scriptures and the life of Christian life. Irenaeus clearly taught the word, always conforming to its original precepts. You know, he never deviated. He always stuck to the word. The Bible says, if you recall this verse, Ephesians 2:20 is a cardinal word for any Christian organization. We have to be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstones. We are not built on the various doctrines and dogmas on creeds of the churches. We are built on the foundation of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God," he says, "The flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father." What? That I am the revelation is that He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And upon that cornerstone and the doctrines and the teachings of apostles and prophets, the Christian church is built. His churches in France are known to have gifts of the Spirit among them. For the saints spoke in tongues, prophesied, raised dead, and healed the sick by prayer of faith. So the power of God was also demonstrated. Not only he taught the word, but he found the power of God demonstrated through his ministry wherever he planted churches. Recognizing the danger of the deeds of the Nicolaitans, I explained to the deeds of the Nicolaitans last Sunday. Irenaeus opposed any organized brotherhood among the elders and pastors. He opposed. He stood solidly for a unified, spirit-filled manifesting of gifts of the Holy Spirit. He stood for a sovereign God, working a sovereign power of the Spirit in each local body of believers. He resisted the man-made organization. Organism was okay by the led by the Spirit, but man-made organization he resisted. But he firmly believed that the Holy Spirit led, a sovereign God working in the power of in each local body of believers. He was also clear on his understanding of the Godhead. You know, there are a lot of confusion today in the Christian world about the Godhead. The three persons, one God, and you know, many persons. And Polycarp was, at the very beginning, had a very clear understanding of Godhead. Since he was a disciple of Polycarp, who in turn disciple of John, we can know for sure he had a perfect teaching on this subject. One day I will explain to you in a study on the doctrine of Godhead. Now, these books are available in the history, these Anti-Nicene Fathers. In the Catholic churches it is available. Now, it is refers in this particular para, Irenaeus is quoted. All other expressions likewise bring out the title. Now he talks about God, title of one and the same being, the Lord of power, the Lord, the Father of all, God Almighty, Most High Creator, Maker. Such like these are not names and titles of succession of different beings, but one and the same. You know, there was a decision in the Council of Nicene Council in the 325. There was a decision taken to reveal to people who God is, whether He is three or one. So one such person who stood for the Godhead, which is the truth, is Irenaeus. So he said all the expressions in the Bible you find about God is referred to one and same. It is not three persons or four persons or five persons. It is one God, the Father. And He manifests in different forms for the purpose of bringing His people back to Him. Irenaeus stood clearly, all these titles were not referring to different persons, but the titles are such as Rose of Sharon, Bright and Morning Star, Fairest of 10,000, etc. all point to one God. And in manifested name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He manifested God with us when Jesus was here in the midst of us. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And He manifested, He was the express image of the Father. The messenger to the age was steadfast in his allegiance to the Word of God. This characteristic, along with his wonderful understanding of the Scriptures and the manifestation of power of God upon that ministry, vindicate him to have been God's choice of the eighth. He followed the pattern of Paul. He was strong in his word, but also along with the word, you find his lifestyle, his character matches the word. Not only his character matches the word, but also his ministry vindicates the power of God. Wherever he got, that you find the healings, you find the miracles, all that took place. Apart from that, this is important. Irenaeus possessed a balance of fruit, power, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word. A lot of people today lack. Some people are eloquent speakers today. You find a lot of eloquent speakers, preachers, who can do a lot of things. But what we find is sometimes they don't have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And what happens is here, he was Holy Spirit, he had the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word. In this age he was one who influenced the age for God by means of a ministry which was solidly based on the Word and the power and the demonstration of God's power. Now what happens is today, you hardly find miracles and things like that. Is today, people are trying to make miracles happen. You have to, you know, like those old cars, you have to put in wine to happen. No, you don't have to do that. Because the Word will confirm the signs, as Sian said. Demonstration. If you choose to stand true to His Word, the Spirit, God is the God who has created this whole universe. Everything is possible to Him. Nothing is impossible. When God shakes this earth, we tremble. And such God He is. And if we stick to the Word, and the Word will conform by with signs and wonders. And you and I would begin to see in this fellowship, and in the days to come, many wonderful things happen. Miracles will take place. The power of God will be demonstrated. The fruits of God will be manifested in the midst of the people of God. Christ graciously acknowledged that He is aware of the suffering of His elect children in this age. Now you find the very first verse in the church, message to this Smyrna church. He is aware of the suffering of His elect children in this age. He encouraged them to be faithful unto death. He encouraged them, that's the message. You know, sometimes people ask questions, why I have to go through. But in that church age, there were many sufferings. They stood for the word. Polycarp was martyred. John was martyred. Peter was martyred. Paul was martyred. Stephen was martyred. All that. Faithful unto death. You and I have a comfortable life. Thank God that we don't have to go through all these things. We have a life which we can conveniently come and even to listen to the word of God. He then points out the false ones who are still very active in the age, identifying them as the synagogue of Satan. You know, God identifies. You see, with God, we cannot play the games. He knows what is truth, what is right. He knows His seed and His other people. You know, sometimes I may not know everything when I see people. But God sees me, you, everyone. He knows where we stand, what we do. Everything is known to Him. That's why He said, I know your works all the time. And here even He identifies a group of people like the Nicolaitans, a synagogue of Satan. They are not proclaiming, they are not saying that they are the synagogue, but they are saying they are true believers. But God identified them as the synagogue of Satan. They are not telling that they are synagogue. They are saying they are true people. Like today, there are a lot of good Christian organizations. They said, okay, they are wrong, we are cult, or something like this. Don't go there, that's, they are preaching wrong things. You know, that kind of things. But God knows who is the synagogue of Satan. It almost seems impossible that the church should go quickly from Holy Ghost control to Satanic control through the false brethren who bring damnable heresies. To understand this scenario, we need to remember what happened to the Israel in Exodus. In less than 5 months, Israel went through worshipping Jehovah in the shores of Red Sea to worshipping golden calf in the wilderness. You remember? Now see, church started here. And when this when it come to this place, now you find it's coming like this and you started coming down. Because people forgot. Now this happened to the children of Israel. God, through Moses, brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they were across the Red Sea. Mighty miracles took place. And they began to worship and praise God. And then the very, very, very God they worshipped subsequently, when Moses was in the Mount Sinai, they created a golden calf in the wilderness, worship the children of Israel. Same thing took place. The city of Smyrna was a little north of Ephesus, at the mouth of Smyrna Gulf. Because of its very fine harbor, it was a commercial center. You remember all these places under Roman Empire. This is the height of Roman Empire. You know, when Jesus was there, it is the Roman Empire rule. And when it comes to this area, 8300, 400, still is the height of the world was ruled by Romans. It is the Roman Empire that prevail. And most of these cities and roads are created by them. So the city of Smyrna was a little north of Ephesus, at the mouth of Smyrna Gulf, because it's very fine harbor, it was commercial center, renowned for its exports. It was also distinguished for its school of heretic, that's a speech, language of speak and writing skills, philosophy, medicine, science, fine buildings. Many Jews lived there. They were bitterly opposed to Christianity. Many Jews lived there. And those Jews bitterly opposed this new religion, the synagogue of Satan, even more than Romans. Even more than Romans, Jews hated Christianity at that time. In fact, Polycarp was the first bishop of Smyrna, was martyred by not Romans, but by Jews. The Jewish community there martyred Polycarp, who was the first bishop of Smyrna church. The name of the city means, like Ephesus, bitter, derived from the word mar. Mar was used to embalming the dead. Mar was used embalming the dead. Thus we have twofold significance found in the name of this age. It was bitter, age filled with death, two wines within the framework of the church. Within the church, you find the two groups of people would drift apart further with the false wine harboring, even increasing bitterness toward the true wine. Spiritual death reigned in the false wine, causing them to persecute unto physical death the remnant of true wine. Thus, admonition of the Lord to his elected children in the Smyrnian church age, be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown. The tremendous persecution began to take place, not from outside, not from the heathens, within the church. The chaos began to bring forth the doctrines, teachings, and began to persecute the true wine. Seeing this little by little, overtaking the church was bitterness instead of heart, soul of the true, instead to the heart and the soul of true church wine. Taking stand against would be cost them their lives. If the true people, true seed of God, was to stand for the word of God, if they were to stand for the word of God, it will cost their lives. What transpired in the local Smyrna church in the city was but a reflection of what transpires in the second church age. In the local city, like you remember, I told you last Sunday, in the Ephesus, he said, I will remove the candlestick, and today you don't find no Christian church in the city of Ephesus, in Ephesus. Like here, in the second church, what happened in the local church age is what exactly transpired right throughout the second church age. In this city, there were two famous temples. One was the temple erected for the worship of Zeus. Now these are false gods. These are heathen gods. These are Babylonian gods that coming to the Roman Empire. A false god. Otherwise erected to be Sibylle, a false goddess. And between those two temples was found the most beautiful road created by Romans of ancient times called the Golden Street. And was an indication of greater influence which paganism would have within the framework of Christian church. Centering the false vine but weakening the true vine. Now you find within the false chaos and in the outside you find the false religion also dominant. Paganism was known to flourish greatly in the Rome. In Rome, false vine riddled with paganism would find its resting place. From this false vine, church would spread its false doctrine around the world. You know, remember, from these areas only the true seed went to Rome also. At that time, Rome also was paganism was ruling. They were worshipping number of pagan gods. We will come to that later. Number, not one god. They have god for this, god for that. You know, in Roman Empire, every profession there was a god. God for barber, god for tailor, god for seaman, god for this, god for that. About hundreds of god, like, you know, today some Christians have organized have various god for various things. So they are different god, manifold gods. Joining the two pagan temples of god and goddess, in the latter age influenced the false vine church to introduce Mother Mary, Son Jesus worship. Mary would be elevated to position of co-equalness with Jesus. This is not in the Bible. With all due respect to Mary, with a virgin, a vessel God chose for a very particular purpose, but she was born of sin. She needed a savior as much as you and I needed a savior. She was not, and he was elevated to that level and given the title Mother of God, which is not in the Bible, which is contrary to the very word of God. What happens? You find when it comes to this church, decreasing light. When this decreasing light takes place in this church age, we find in a period which a falsehood rampant in this place. Side by side, light and darkness, wheat and tares in the midst of the church. Now this is exactly the beginning of the wrong teachings erupted in this age and began to really create persecution to the children of God. And unto the angel of the Smyrna write these things, said the first and the last, which was dead and alive. It says, the message, what was the message? Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, say the first and the last, which was dead and alive. Addressing the messenger of this age, Jesus adds to the revelation of his deity. He affirms his deity. He says, write these things, say the first and the last. And Jesus affirms the revelation of his deity, given in the first age. Be the first and the last. Why he is first? Because he is the first fruit. And he is, there is nobody before him, beside him. And he is the one who redeemed us. John in Revelation, Jesus affirmed his absolute deity saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Save the Lord. And he was, which is to come, the Almighty. Now he was, God was manifest, the Almighty was manifesting. It is not a second person. Or a first person or a third person, there is only one person in the Godhead. The Lord Jesus Christ is not first, second or third. He is one and only person in Godhead. God is not a person, God is a spirit. But Jesus is the only person in the Godhead. The first Adam took life and through disobedience turns into death. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, through the sinless birth and absolute obedience to the every word, takes the death and turn it into eternal life. First Adam took innocence and turned it to a guilt. He was innocent when he created, but he took and he turned it to a guilt. And that's why Jesus was the first. He was the second Adam, first fruit. He was the second Adam, but the first fruit for you and I to mesh to. On the base of faith in what he did, Jesus Christ takes our guilt and turns it to innocence, giving us power in our lives to raise above the dominion of the world, flesh and devil. Behold, I give you power over all power of the enemy, and sin shall not have dominion over you. Jesus is given that power to you and to me. And when he, Jesus, told the first page, wait until you receive power of God, power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I need that power to overcome the sin. Power, overcome the deception, overcome the lie, overcome the hatred, jealousy and everything. It is the power of God that will give us, that have power over dominion and make our lives mesh to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this age, it's going to happen. And it is in our time that God has given you and me the power that was there. And that's why he says in this church age also, he says that he affirms who he is, what he is going to do. It's no wonder that God has chosen a group of people like you and me to mesh the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not possible by following a church. It is not following by going to Sunday services. It is not even following reading the Bible over and over again. It is only possible when the Spirit of God comes upon you and me. And when the Spirit quickens in your mortal body, and you begin to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and will bring forward the Son of the living God in you, and reflect, and manifest, express himself in you and in me, right here on this planet Earth, as is true and genuine children. With this word, I will close for this. And we will commence next Sunday. And I think since we are gone past time, and I think there's a lot more to say, a few more things. But I'll explain to you, in this church age, in the Smyrna church age, we find the chaos blossoming, living side by side, and they're creating a persecution. And as we come to this moment of truth, I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, God, in this moment in time, in this age, has given us His Spirit. He dwells in you. He was above us. He was with us. Now He is in us. And He will mortify the deeds of the flesh. And He will bring forth. And if I fail to bring forth the Son of God in me, and if you fail to bring forth the benefits of the Son of God in you, God fails. And that's why you and I will not match to that celestial body. Even if we die, even before the rapture, make sure that you fit onto that body. And it is the power of God that will have dominion and bring you. As we pray, as we going to spend time in prayer for needs, Brother Ravi is going to come. I want to tell you today, as we answered in the early part, God is in the midst of us. He can do, He will do. And I think there are many testimonies, fact that God heals. Not only heals, He provides us. In this sinful world, that we need God more than anything else. And tonight, if you have a need, if you have an issue, if you have a problem, and as Brother Ravi comes, as Brother Sian also mentions, God will do mighty things, greater things than this shall ye do, because we believe in a living God, a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what I think or ask. So as Brother Ravi comes, stand to our feet and bring forth your need.